This is John Weber, and I'm sitting in for Marian McPartland today on Piano Jazz. Today, our guest is a young woman who is extremely versatile, performing and recording a wide variety of jazz settings. She is pianist, vocalist, arranger, educator, lyricist, composer, Carol Welsman. Carol, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Thank you.
You know, I should really add linguist as well, because you have recorded in numerous languages. I think, French, Portuguese, Italian, Spanish. What's that other one? English. Once in a while we get... I also want to mention that I'm an enormous fan of your music. You and your band really sound calm and intense at the same time and very focused musically. And you always manage to bring out the best from all of your musicians. You sound great when you're singing standards with an orchestra, as you did on Swing Lady Swing, the tribute to some of your vocal jazz heroes, the ones who we can probably invoke with single names like Ella or Sarah or Carmen or Abby or Peggy. And you even did an album of Peggy Lee songs.
I did, very recently. I Like Men, Reflections of Peggy Lee, because she was my father's favorite singer. And he always said, if you're going to emulate anybody or be inspired by anybody, she's the one.
And you saw Peggy Lee for the first time when you were how old?
I was 12.
What a cool dad.
Oh, he took me to the best concerts, Woody Herman and Count Basie, and then Peggy Lee when she was performing in Toronto.
Wow. Yeah, where you grew up. You grew up in Toronto, and you come from an extremely musical family. I'd like to hear you sing I Like Men, the title track from that album.
I'd love to sing it. Maybe he has sandy hair, or maybe his eyes are brown or blue. Maybe he has a fault or two, but I like men. And if he has a gentle way, maybe he'll make me feel so frail. Well, that's my favorite kind of male, 'cause I like men. I like the masculine, I like the mind, and I like any other kind that I can find. 'Cause the way that I feel, it's not hard to decide. I'll take Southern hospitality or Northern pride. And maybe he's a millionaire, or maybe he's poor, I just don't care. Why, he can even lose his hair, 'cause I like men. I like the masculine and I like the mind, and I like any other kind that I can find. Well, the way that I feel, it's not hard to decide. I like Southern hospitality or Northern pride. And maybe he's a millionaire, maybe he's poor, I just don't care. Why, he can even lose his hair, 'cause I like men. He can be big, he can be small, he can be short, he can be tall. Well, bless them all. I like men.
Carol, that really swung. That was great.
Thank you.
And you accompany yourself so well. The first time I heard you sing, I was immediately wowed by your vocal quality, which you're lower than an alto, right?
I guess so. I don't really know the specific range, but I do sing pretty low now.
Or a contralto even?
Contralto. I love the low tone. It's just a completely different thing. Everybody's voice has sparkling points, I call them, and there's a lot of sparkle in the lower register.
There's just something about that vocal register that just kind of rings true and sincere and convincing when singing jazz. Now, the first time I heard you, I should mention, I thought that, wow, Carol Welsman, what a great singer. And in support of this beautiful instrument, I thought, who is Carol Welsman's piano player? And then I see on Larry King, right? And I thought, this is a competition, this is reading her mind, but it's Carol Welsman's piano player. And mystery solved. And who better than you? And when you do those piano improv lines, it sounds like a horn line, almost like a shout chorus.
Well, I think first and foremost, I have to say that I've always felt that I'm more of an accompanist to my singing than a pianist who sings. But I really do feel that. I've always done the two together. But because of this, I wouldn't call myself the Oscar Peterson of the piano from a technique standpoint. I'm more of the Count Basie school of piano. That's what I've followed. I love the subtleties and the little fills and things like that, because it also allows me more time to think about the lyrics. And I think that that's very important when you're singing. So when it comes to soloing, it's always been a challenge to me to come up with something that maybe nobody else does. And in performances over the years, I started to develop this singing the horn line, or let's say the lead trumpet line on a shout chorus, and do a block chord type of solo, which is reminiscent maybe a bit of George Shearing, who I'm very inspired by, but also somewhat original.
Yeah.
So,
which happened first? Help me with the chronology here. Were you a terrific jazz pianist who thought, singing, how hard could that be? Or were you this marvelous contralto who learned how to very capably accompany yourself and then blossomed into what I consider you a first-rate jazz instrumentalist. So which happened first, singing, playing? I suppose you're going to tell me you did them both at the same time.
Well, you know what? In a sense, I am going to tell you that, because I honestly believe that the two have grown together. And because I don't think when I was 15 I had this kind of range. In fact, I can tell you I didn't. I have recordings of singing with my jazz band at school that I would rather forget. Yeah. But even when I first started playing and singing together, there was a coloring thing that went on, and there's a comfort level. And as soon as I stand up and sing, it's a completely different thing that's happening. So I find that the singing and playing have complemented each other, if you will, because the more I play a song in a key that's comfortable for the vocal, the more I can develop the vocal. So they're two things that really go together. However, I studied jazz piano separately from the voice.
I want to hear you sparkle on a song which got a really nice write-up in the USA Today. They said something, it was the pick of the week, the best recording. They loved your version of Folks Who Lived on the Hill.
Oh, I'd love to do that. Just as an aside to that, it's on my I Like Men Reflections of Peggy Lee CD for a very good reason. I was very lucky to meet Peggy Lee's granddaughter, Holly Foster Wells, and she has been very helpful to me and still proves to be very helpful with lots of information about Peggy Lee and her... And she introduced me to the song I Like Men, which I had never heard. And Peggy Lee wrote the lyrics to that. So this is actually Peggy Lee's favorite song.
Really?
Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop high, you and I, shiny and new, a cottage that two can fill, and we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill. Someday we may be adding a wing or two, a thing or two. We will make changes as any family will, and we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill. Our veranda will command a view of meadows green, the sort of view that seems to want to be seen. And when our kids grow up and leave us, we'll sit and look at the same old view, just we two, Janie and Joe, who used to be Jack and Jill. And we'll be pleased to be called what we have always been called.
The hair on my arms is standing up right now. That was so beautiful. That was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Carol, when did you first sing that song?
I actually learned it very recently, and it was my father who always wanted me to record it. And then finding out that it was Peggy Lee's favorite song just did it for me.
George Wellsman, a man I definitely would like to have met. We should let everyone know what's going on. My guest is Carol Wellsman, and I'm John Weber, sitting in for Marion McPartland. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. This is Piano Jazz from NPR. I love when you're laying down those incredible grooves with Jimmy Haslip of the Yellow Jackets. It's another creative element that showcases your musical personality very nicely. And I'm particularly mesmerized by your musical partnership with Brazilian guitar legend Oscar Castro Neves. Did I pronounce his name correctly? He's an important guy.
Depending if you're from Rio or or São Paulo, they tell me. But yes, Oscar Castro Neves is kind of the more American. You were right.
A legendary man, and I really should know how to pronounce his name properly, because he had a big million seller by the time he was 16 years old, and he did a Carnegie Hall concert at least a year before Girl from Ipanema hit our shores, about 1962. But tell us about Oscar Castro Neves and how you two connected in the studio to make such exquisite music together.
Well, when I was 11 years old, I was dancing around in our den to Mashquenada, which I learned in Portuguese at 11. This is when I knew I had a love affair with Brazilian music. So it started at this young age, and my dad had these Sergio Mendes records and Jobim, and I kept seeing the name Oscar Castroneves, which the tie-in is that he was Sergio Mendes's musical director for 10 years. So there are very few people in my career who I wanted to meet from day one, but he was one of them. And I was signed by Savoy Jazz at one point, and the A&R person said to me, "We would like you to work with a producer. I'm not sure if you know him, but his name is Oscar Castroneves." And I just about fell off my chair. I said, "Let me think about it." "Okay, fine." In 1 second, it was a dream come true because I had heard so much about him, and so we got together, and on first meeting, it was obvious that we were going to put together a really, really fun project. And the album is called The Language of Love. And we had about 30 songs and we pared it down to 13. And I just learned so much from Oscar because he was a very good friend of Jobim's, and he played guitar on the album. So I was lucky to be able to learn even more about the Brazilian rhythms.
You do some wonderful reharmonizations. I know you always want to give Oscar credit, but he didn't play the piano parts. You did. And you do them very well. I remember hearing you sing and play one-note samba and thinking, here's a song. I mean, I don't know how many weddings I've heard one-note samba, and it goes in one ear and out the other sometimes. But to hear you do it, you've just reinvented the song, and you make it really, really exciting.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm always trying to challenge myself with a song that would be well known to a lot of people, because it is one of the first songs that was introduced back in when Bossa Nova came to the U.S. and North America. So I just thought, if I do it the same way everybody else has, then it's going to be the same. And I'm always trying to find something a little bit different.
And you find that pocket, that nice kind of sultry, smoky, amazing pocket that most people play it too fast. I want to play it as a duet with you. Could we try that?
I would love that.
Let's do that.
Esse aqui, este sambinha, feito de uma nota só. Outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. Esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Quantas vezes eu disse por aí que fala tanto e não diz nada. Já me utilizei de tudo, escalas lá, meu nome sobrou nada, não veio em nada. Eu voltei pra minha nota, como eu volto pra você. Vou contar com a minha nota, como eu volto de você. E quem quer todas as notas, rei me fa sol, la, si, do. Fica sempre sem e numa, fica em numa nota só.
Thank you.
Essa aqui, este sambinha, feito de uma nota só. Outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. Esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Quanta gente existe por aí que fala tanto e não diz nada. Já me tirei de tudo, escalei na fim, não me sobrou nada, não veio em nada. Eu vou ter pra minha nota, como eu volto pra você. Vou contar com a minha nota, como eu gosto de você. E quem quer todas as notas, ré, mi, fá, sol, lá, si, dó, fica sempre sem nenhuma, fica em numa nota só.
Well, you did all the heavy lifting on that one, all the grooves.
Oh, but John, your soloing is so light and flows so beautifully. You're doing what I'd rather leave for you to do.
I'm hearing the whole band. That's the thing. I mean, how many non-Brazilians really understand how to play this stuff? You really, really understand the grooves perfectly.
But this is a challenge. I mean, I normally have my bass player and drummer and guitarist, and the one-man band thing, you've got to think about it in a different way.
Well, it's the hallmark of any truly skilled arranger, and I consider you an extremely skilled arranger, to take one type of musical statement and rework its themes into something powerful, like you just did. That's a really simple song, the lyrics, I think, say something about it being a simple song. And you've discovered harmonic potential in that song, and you've also found it in a lot of places where I would never dream of looking. I've heard you take nursery rhymes to the hippest places that they've ever been.
Oh, you know, that brings to mind Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. I think that's the only nursery rhyme I've ever done. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. I dare you to reharmonize Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Well, I'd like to preface it by saying that at the time, my nephew was about 1 and a half, and he wasn't the greatest at going to sleep at night, and my brother brought him upstairs where the piano was, and I said, maybe I should sing to him. Paul, what do you think? And would you join me on a version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? And all of a sudden, this happened.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. How I wonder what you are. How I wonder what you are.
Ooh. That was a little bit of it anyway.
I couldn't fall asleep if I'd say, do another chorus, Aunt Carol, please. See, when you're covering a tune, I can tell you work really hard on this stuff, or maybe it just comes naturally. I don't know. It sounds like you work hard on it. But when you're covering a tune, are you actively seeking to make it the best version in existence? Because that was the best Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star in existence.
Oh, well, you're so sweet. But no, I'm not trying to make it the best thing in the world. It's really just a question of trying to give it some sort of a signature. It's really a question of how could I work a version of a song that I really like that into jazz repertoire, because there are so many songs that are done and done and done and re-recorded, and I find it harder to find something and bring something original to a standard that's played and played and played. So something like this is a song that I realize not too many people have covered in this way. And then I start looking harmonically, but what my goal always is there something in this song that speaks to me? And it's not every song at all. There's a lot of research that goes into this.
I'm always amazed that you're able to take tunes that are not even jazz tunes and turn them into something to put your personality in. And I guess it came from you just being exposed to music around the house. Your mother was a piano teacher?
She was classically trained, and so she was always on us to keep our classical studies going. But the influence in the family that presented so much jazz to me was my dad.
Yeah.
He was the one listening to he would talk about the block chords that George Shearing was playing, and he would emulate it on the piano. He played by ear, but he was able to play everything he wanted to play.
It sounds like my dad. He used to play music night and day, all day long. We'd listen. I think he had maybe 75 records when I was born, and 74 were Doris Day singing standards, including that one where she did, I think it was called Latin for Lovers, where she did Desafinado and all these other beautiful Brazilian songs. And there's one that I learned later on that I found out Oscar Castroneves played on, written by Chico Buarque and Antonio Carlos Jobim, called Anos Dourados, with the vocal group called the Quarteto MC, four altos. They're sisters.
Well, you've stumped me because I've never heard that song. Would you play it?
Yes. What key? Choose a number between 0 and 7.
Three okay. Flats.
Three flats it is.
Sure. That was simply sublime. That you just, first of all, I can't even reach a tenth in my left hand. So I really envy you a lot for that. But just you play it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
I'm just trying to keep up with you because I know that you know all these grooves by heart, and I'm just trying to.
No, but
you're taking me to school on the Portuguese Brazilian groove.
But what you're doing though is you're doing the groove in the left hand and then playing on top of it with the right, which is something I don't even do. That's lovely.
When you don't have the band, you got to make do with a guy's got to do what a guy's got to do. You know, you have two hands and 10 fingers, and you think, well, what can I do? There's more music on the way in a minute. I'm here with Carol Wellsman. This is John Weber
and you're listening to Piano Jazz from NPR. Find artist information, set lists, and more at our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Now, we mentioned Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, English, and you've also recorded in French. My friends in Chicago would say, yeah, she's got a good work ethic. Now, I'm going to guess that you took more than 2 years of high school French to master that pronunciation that I heard on Chanson de Maxence. How was that?
That was very good, John.
So you could just answer me in French or Italian. I would love to hear you sing something in French.
Oh, I'm sure I could. Bien sûr, pourquoi pas.
Merci beaucoup.
La mer qu'on voit danser le long des golfes clairs a des reflets d'argent, la mer, des reflets changeants sous la pluie. La mer, au ciel d'été, confond ses blancs moutons avec les anges et pur. La mer, bergère d'azur infinie, voyez près des étangs, ces grands roseaux mouillés. Voyez ces oiseaux blancs et ces maisons rouillées. La mer les a bercés le long des golfes clairs et d'une chanson d'amour. La mer a bercé mon cœur sous la pluie. Podit vera vure faya, pa pa de iure, pa de da dum de da la la de iam, pa de de deo, a va de da pa de da de 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 la la ya da de iure, a va va de da da la ya de uneta, va va ve pa de da pa. But I'll buy you that little 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 little. Voyez près des étangs ces grands roseaux mouillés. Voyez ces oiseaux blancs et ces maisons rouillées. La mer les a bercés le long des golfes clairs et d'une chanson d'amour. La mer a bercé mon cœur pour la vie, a bercé mon cœur pour la vie, pour la vie. And never again I'll go sailing.
C'est magnifique.
Well, thank you. It's really a challenge, though, to I'm playing an arrangement that I usually play with bass, so it's just the two of us. But wow, to get around all those things and make it sound like the bass player is there. That's the challenge for me.
It does. You sound like at least two people or three people, and you accompany yourself so well, and you're obviously very intelligent because you can remember French and English and bass line and accompanying and tempo and everything. It's a lot of chainsaws to juggle at the same time, and you do it so well.
Oh, well, thank you. I think it's just there's also a real connection with being a musician and and a linguist. I think that there's, because of the musical ear, it's easier for musicians to pick up languages.
Yeah.
So.
A polyglot. What a horrible word to describe multilingualism. It sounds like.
Polyvalent in French.
Oh, I like that better. Polyglot sounds like, yeah, my gallbladder and my polyglots is acting up. I would like to hear about your experiences in Italy, Carol. Tell me about that.
Well, I was living in France before I moved to Italy, and I had an all-Italian band in France. I had met these guys when I was studying with Christian Legrand, and I was enrolled in a jazz school to help get the grant. You had to be going to a school as well as studying privately. So these Italian musicians said, why don't you come to Italy for a summer and we'll tour in Sardinia? And I thought, gee, I'm not sure if I'd like to do that. Of course I would. So off I went. And I bought a book between French and Italian. So it was a French grammar book to study Italian. And I learned Italian in a couple of weeks with these musicians. I heard them speaking all the time. So I was prepared. I was preparing myself for this tour. And of course, the music was in English. They wanted to hear jazz, so I was very lucky. And one summer led to me meeting a lovely man and falling in love and wanting to stay. And I stayed for 3 years. Wow. And I was also fortunate through the fellow who I was in love with to meet a wonderful producer and arranger named Romano Muzumara, who was producing the number one artist in France at the time. She was a pop singer. And he was 10 times in the top 10 in the pop charts in 3 years in France. So he was sort of like the David Foster of Europe, or the Quincy Jones, if you will. So I became his lyricist for his pop music. That's kind of how I got into that. In fact, after that jazz tour at the beginning, I kind of went into the pop business for a little while with him and became a lyricist.
But you never lost your jazz sensibility, because I hear it when you play pretty songs like Estate, for example, which I understand. Do you do Estate?
I do. In fact, we used to work a lot with Bruno Martino's son, who's a drummer. And Bruno Martino is the one who wrote the song, of course. So that was one of the first Italian songs I ever learned.
I would love to hear you sing and play Estate.
Well, I'll do my best.
Yeah.
L'estate sei caldo come i baci che ho perduto. Sei piena di un amore che è passato. Che il cuore mio vorrebbe cancellare. L'estate il sole che ogni giorno ci scaldava, che splendidi tramonti dipingeva, e adesso brucia solo con furore. Tornerà un altro inverno, cadranno mille petali di rose, la neve coprirà tutte le cose. Per farmi poi morire di dolore,
l'estate che ha dato il suo profumo ad ogni fiore. L'estate che ha creato il nostro amore per farmi poi morire di dolore. Ha dato il suo profumo ad ogni fiore. L'estate che ha creato il nostro amore per farmi poi morire di dolore.
Well, no wonder all those Italian men fell in love with you.
Goodness. Oh, that is such a romantic song. It's just such a pleasure to sing.
What does it mean in English?
Well, it's interesting because it's in the first person. So it's estate means summer in Italian. And the whole lyric is summer. You are full of a love that is now gone. Summer si cala come I baci che ho perduto. You're warm like the kisses that I've lost, and you're full of a love that is gone, that now my heart would like to forget, and very, you know, the summer's warmth that painted the sunsets and that kept us warm, and now. The sun just burns with fury, and it's really a very, very romantic love song.
I can tell that you pay a lot of respect to the lyrics that you sing, and of course, I mean, when we're performing jazz, we're expected to restructure harmony all the time, but we are not encouraged at all to restructure lyrics. There's zero flexibility with lyric restructuring, and in fact, when a vocalist delivers one wrong word. I mean, how many nanoseconds does it take for us all, or at least for the lyric police, to come out with this collective gasp like, oh, did you hear that? The lyrics and the melody are a perfect match, and you sing them just like I've never heard it before. You haven't even recorded that one. I kind of snuck that one up on you because I've been asking you to sing tunes that you've recorded, but I know you haven't recorded that one yet, and you should.
Oh, I'd love to.
In case you're just tuning in, my guest is Carol Wellsman. Piano Jazz is made possible by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm John Weber, and you're listening to Piano Jazz from NPR. Let me ask you, have you ever encountered a really happy, jaunty, catchy melody which has been inexplicably fused with a somber lyric about tragedy and sadness? And if so, what do you do about that?
Well, one thing I can say is in Brazilian music, quite strangely, I guess one could say that the samba is really a form of folk music from Brazil, and they talk about the realities of their world in the songs. And oftentimes it's a, you know, you broke my heart, you've killed me with our breakup, and it's all going to this beautiful samba beat. So strangely enough, sometimes the sambas that we hear, we may think that they're all just dancing around having a grand old time, and yet if you really look behind the lyrics, they're much deeper than that. So I still just sing them with a lot of verve if I can, and try and keep the rhythm going. But I would have to say that in English, generally, if a song is where the lyrics just don't match the melody, I can't do anything with it.
I thought about another example in one of your recordings. You did a song that's probably been on my radar screen for more than 3 decades, What a Fool Believes, by Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins. And it's an excellent song, and but listen to the lyrics sometime. I never heard the lyric until I heard you sing it. In other words, what it does have is this. That sort of happy cha-cha-cha kind of figure, which is nice. It makes me want to get up and dance and forget my troubles. But it's a song about rejection and heartbreak. And the first time I heard rejection and heartbreak in that song is when I heard you do it, because you'd restructured the harmony on that one as well.
Oh, and well, you know, it was a friend of my drummers who is from Brazil, and he said to me, I have to give him credit, Sandro Albert, he said, you should do some of the pop songs as bossa novas. And he mentioned that song, and I worked on that one quite a while.
See, millions of people around the world probably recognize What a Fool Believes from that hook, from that little piano thing. And the first thing you did was you subtracted that from the arrangement. And I would love to hear you show everybody what you did with What a Fool Believes, because I think it's great.
Oh, okay.
He came from somewhere back in a long ago. The sentimental fool don't see, trying hard to recreate what had yet to be created. Once in her life, she musters a smile from his nostalgic tale, and never coming near what he wanted to say, only to realize she never was.
I love the dark chords that you're playing on What a Fool Believes. It really matches the message behind the song, and you obviously respect the lyrics enough. And, you know, Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins are fantastic songwriters, and this is a very good song. But yours is the first version that I genuinely heard what the song was about. It's about heartbreak, rejection, abandonment.
It's true, and you've hit on another song that from a comment you made earlier, you've hit on another song that has a real different direction when you're talking about lyrics and then melody, because the melody and the harmony that they used is somewhat happy, and the lyrics are the opposite. So it's, I guess I just wanted to darken it up a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what makes me unhappy is the fact that this show must come to an end, because I could keep on talking to you for hours and listen to you play for hours. I want to hear you sing a song called There's No Such Thing as Love. And I never heard the lyric until I heard you sing it. And when I did hear you sing it, I remember I just was sitting in stunned silence. And I hit the repeat button. I do listen to it over and over. And just sort of involuntarily, I mean, I'll admit it, as a guy, I tear up listening to this, because I think it's just really extraordinary. Because you sound like John Coltrane. It was this long, beautiful, voluptuous vowels, and your diction and everything is just glorious in this song.
Oh, well, thank you. It's when a song is that beautiful, it's a lot easier to sing, believe me. And I like the fact that few people have recorded it. I always go for things like that are real gems that have not been overexposed. I would love for you to accompany me on this song, if you would.
It'd be my great pleasure.
there's no such thing as love. There's no such thing at all. There's no such thing as love. It's just a word that kids write on a wall. There's no such thing as love's old sweet song. It's only just a rhyme that poets chime, and poets can be wrong. There's no such man for me to me. All the same, they're just an hour's fun, and then I run to me. They're just a game. There's no such thing as blue skies up above. And since you said goodbye, there's no such thing as love. Just an hour's fun, and then I run to me. They're just a game. There's no such thing as blue skies up above. And since you said goodbye, you left me high and dry. You left me here to cry. There's no such thing. Love.
Oh, that was just wonderful. Carol, I think you hold a note longer than Chase Manhattan.
Thank you for the beautiful accompaniment.
It's been a pleasure to have you on Piano Jazz.
You've been listening to Marian McPartland's Piano Jazz with guest host John Weber and guest singer-pianist Carol Welsman. Join us each week at this time when Piano Jazz brings you outstanding artists for conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is recorded at Manhattan Beach Studios in New York City and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Assistant recording engineer, Dan Hoppler. Mastering engineer, David Mitchell. Engineering assistant, Dale Anderson. Production assistant, Grant Jackson. The executive producer is Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, celebrating 10 years of support for the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.